And now the patient, who began our conversation by commenting on his initial discussion with Dr. Vanook about the risk of cancer recurrence with and without treatment.
He explained to me that when lymph nodes are involved, that means there are cells floating around exterior to the site, and that given my history, no family history of cancer, and the fact that I was in incredibly good health, he suggested that if I did nothing, there'd be a good, probably 50-50 chance that I could survive 5 years without recurrence. But he said, however, if we do the chemo, I would expect your odds to be about 95%. He said, that's a tremendous difference in the odds ratio between 50% and 95%. He said, but, you know, you've been healthy, you have no family history, that's all in your favor. So if you choose to do nothing, I will understand. But if you choose to do the chemo, we'll work out a program for you.
What did he tell you to expect from the chemotherapy?
Nausea, possibly diarrhea, low energy level. Those are the major experiences that I would have.
And what had you heard about chemotherapy in general, you know, prior to that time?
Oh, a lot of horror stories, I think. It, you know, really makes you sick. People really suffer a lot of diarrhea, a lot of nausea and vomiting. But I've learned over my career that generally people only talk about negative experiences. When there's a positive experience, people don't talk about it so much. So when a person hears anything about any symptom or experience, it's going to be the negative ones. And so to the listener's ears, everything about that treatment is bad.
So when you thought about what you maybe were expecting at that point from the chemotherapy, as well as the numbers that he gave you in terms of how it would affect your chance of remaining without the cancer, did that seem like a good deal, so to speak?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of not doing it.
Right.
And family and close friends actually made the decision for me, as many aspects of my life. I never made the decision. Other people make the decision for me.
That's interesting. So were you thinking that in terms of what you were expecting from chemotherapy and what he told you about these numbers, that was something you initially felt like you did not want to do?
Yes.
And who was it who made the decision or helped you make the decision?
My daughter and my girlfriend.
What did they say to you?
Daddy, you can do this. That's a phenomenal difference in odds. It'd be so much better if you go for the 95% probability instead of the 50% probability. You'll be so much better, and you'll be happier when it's all over. The time will go quickly. 6 months is nothing. Do it, do it, do it. You should do this, you should do this.
Did they really convince you, or you just decided kind of to do it for them?
I decided to give it a try for them.
Mm-hmm. But more for them, you still really didn't want to do it.
Yes, and the reason I can say that with some reliability is that after the second dose, I decided I didn't want to have that experience.
So tell me about what happened when you got your first dose.
First dose, just mild nausea. I never vomited. Mild nausea. I took one anti-nausea tablet. I forget what the name of it is as we speak. And I started to experience severe sensitivity to cold in my tongue.
Now, had anybody discussed that with you prior to that time?
Well, Dr. Vanook told me that I may have some peripheral neuropathy, sensitive in fingers and feet and toes, but he never mentioned the tongue. So in my case, it was the tongue. A glass of orange juice and like an electric bolt, a lightning bolt, hit my tongue.
What about your hair? Did you expect to lose your hair?
Yeah, that's one of the things I heard. I didn't lose any hair. Anyway, I wear my head bald. I shave my hair. And didn't lose any armpit hair or pubic hair, chest hair. I lost no hair at all.
Were you expecting to lose hair? Or you were
Yes.
So you were expecting, but you were surprised that you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you working?
No. I'm a dentist, and I chose, knowing that chemotherapy can drop your immune system, I chose never to go near a dental operation. Lots of germs.
So prior to this all going on, were you in full-time practice?
I was full-time, yes.
So you went from full-time practice to stopping?
Yes.
Because of the chemotherapy. And what happened as things proceeded?
I just decided to just retire. But I worked for an Indian health clinic. They wouldn't allow me to remain retired. And so I stopped the chemo at the end of April, which there were 12 doses that would have spanned 6 months. I stopped after the end of the 11th dose. I didn't do the 12th dose.
Right.
And so that was end of April. June, I went back to work part-time.
And are you still working now?
Yes.
And did you have the feeling of being really wanted and needed, and that's why you went back to work?
Absolutely. I tell it jokingly that they twisted my arm to the point where they ripped my rotator cuff.
Yeah, but that must have felt good to know that they really wanted you there. So
yeah, yeah, it's very gratifying, very ego-inflating.
So let's talk a little bit more about how things proceeded while you were getting chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And you said that at one point you were thinking that you don't want to continue.
Right. Even though my experiences were not bad compared to the stories that I had heard, it was bad for me because I've never felt bad. I've been blessed to be incredibly healthy. I never felt bad at all. And this reduced energy was something I was thinking about and said, you know, if I've got a good 50-50, then the probability is I'll be among the favorable 50% instead of the unlucky 50%. I'll take my chances. And so I told Dr. Vanook, I certainly said it to his nurse practitioner. I said, you know, I think I don't want to continue this. And my daughter got wind of the fact that I was planning, and she called me. She lives in New York City. She called me on the phone, I mean, really crying, really sobbing, Daddy, please don't do this, don't do this. So again, for her, I continued because my experiences were not that bad.
And how did you feel when you got your last dose of chemo?
I was feeling fine. I was feeling really great.
Had you modified your lifestyle to deal with the cold issue?
No, it had tapered off to the point where it was tolerable. Still had my toes. My fingers had resolved. Again, the peripheral neuropathy effect of my fingers was such that I couldn't pick up a glass of orange juice in the first 2-3 weeks. That had tapered off to the point where I could cook, I could wash dishes, I could do everything comfortably. My toes remained for over a year. Right big toe more than anything. Everything resolved except the right big toe.
So your fingers and toes, as you were getting the treatment, kind of became numb?
Numb is a good word. Tingly.
But also sensitive to cold?
Yes.
And did you find that you were not able to grab things from a motor point of view? You were losing strength?
No, it was purely sensory. Motor function was fine.
And I imagine that was the reason you didn't get the last dose of treatment, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Other than that problem, how were you feeling in general? Were you really knocked out and tired, or were you kind of normal energy level once you finished the chemo?
Oh, I was essentially back to normal. I'm a gardener. I could go into the garden and do what I normally did, ride my bicycle. So I was doing great.
How would you say the experience was compared to what you expected?
Much better. I mean, much better.
Looking back at the experience, when you think about the numbers that were presented to you or that you understood of going from a, what I understand you to tell me, 50% cure rate to 95% cure rate, and if you look at what you went through, do you think it was kind of a good buy, so to speak? Do you think it was worth it?
I think so. And there's no way to know what would have been. So, yes, my experience, the minimal side effects of the chemo itself, I'd say it was worth it, yes.
So I'm kind of curious, just kind of thinking about this. Suppose the numbers that presented to you were different.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, suppose they said to you, okay, well, if you don't do anything, it's going to be a 50% chance of being cured, and it'll increase to 60%.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it still would have been worth it?
I probably would have declined the treatment.
Declined.
With that small percentage, yes.
Suppose it was 70%, 50 to 70.
I would have given it greater consideration than it had it been 60.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I want to ask a little bit more about your experience with nurses, mm-hmm. and also any suggestions you have in terms of, like, say, some of the things you saw them do that you thought were really good, mm-hmm. and maybe some of the things that could be done a little bit better.
Okay. One thing I observed when I would go to the infusion center that some patients would get an IV on the spot. Others had ports. I had a port to myself. And I would occasionally see a nurse having great difficulty starting the IV on a patient. And so I was thinking, I think that nurse should be more proactive in suggesting to the doctor, let's put a port in this patient. You know, it may not be appropriate for all patients, but certainly being aggressive in observing a patient's experience and making direct recommendations to the doctor about ways to make it better for the patient. The thing that impressed me was their ability to remember names early on. They knew my name the second visit, and that was so impressive. I thought, I'm in the right place. I'm certainly in the right place to have my treatment. These nurses care. They know who we are. They're very, very sensitive to that. So learning patients' names is a good exercise to engage in.
That's a really good observation. A lot of times we don't think about things like that. Any other kinds of observations like that?
Yeah. Nurses are taught, we're all taught, those of us who ever tried an IV, when you wipe the site with an alcohol sponge, dry it because the penetration of that alcohol can sting like the devil. I saw nurses not drying the site. They take the alcohol sponge, but then not follow with the dry gauze. And I thought, oh, no. You know, dry the site. Little things like that. Just being sensitive to the patient still has nerve endings that have feelings.